Well, hello. This is the PGPC podcast. My name is Jared Kieber. I'm your host. As always, you can check out our website, Prince George Pentecostal Church, .com. If you have any questions or thoughts, feel free to check out the podcast page on there. The way that you access that is by going into sermons, and then there's a series called podcasts, and there's a form that you can fill out on there that will come to us. We'll have a look at it and try to address questions you may have or things you want to hear discussed. Interestingly, this week I saw on my news feed, which I probably check way too often on my cell phone, there was a video that everybody loves to watch, which is, you know, two groups of protesters, and it got heated, and one side ended up physically attacking the other, specifically one person attacked one of the protesters, and that seems to be something that we see happening a little bit more as our culture becomes more and more polarized. And in fact, we're going to have an episode coming up fairly soon on polarization in politics and a Christian response to those kinds of things. But in this particular circumstance, the issue was around, or the altercation was around, the issue of abortion, which is, of course, a very hot topic issue in politics. It's been a hot topic issue over the past number of decades, really, in the West, and it is an important issue, and so it is an issue we're going to be discussing today. Of course, this issue we'll be discussing from a Christian perspective, but I want to run through kind of why do Christians care about this? Why would Christians be pro-life or even anti-abortion? I think a lot of people don't like the term anti-abortion. It's pro-life. Honestly, I'm so pro-life and putting my cards on the table here that I don't mind being called anti-abortion, because I am anti-abortion. I think it's a bad idea. I think it's a terrible practice. And so I have no problem putting my cards on the table as we jump into this discussion, and we will begin to unpack why is that the case? Why do Christians typically stand against abortion and stand for life? Why are those things the case? So let's jump in. First things first is a theology, or a maybe even a better term would be doctrine, for why Christians care. And if you're not familiar with those two terms, theology stems from the Greek word theos, for God. Theology is the study of God. Doctrine is the result of the study of God. So we would study the scriptures specifically, and that's the practice of theology, and we come up with doctrine, which is the result of theology, or kind of systems of belief. So we would hold the doctrine of the hypostatic union. I know that's a huge word, but the hypostatic union is the idea that Jesus exists as truly man and truly God, and we hold those things in tension because the Bible teaches them. And so doctrine is just kind of a way of systematizing what the Bible teaches. And so what is the theological or the doctrinal reason that Christians care about the issue of abortion? Well, the first and primary reason is the doctrine we call the Imago Dei. And what that means is that all people are created in the image of God. Every person is created in the image of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that God looks the way that we look. God is spirit, and therefore, you know, God doesn't look the way that we look. But it's enough to say that the attributes that we have say something about God. We are created in God's image. I remember listening to a lecture series by a guy named Bruce Waltke on Old Testament theology. And the way that Bruce Waltke unpacked this is the fact that we can hear is enough to say that God hears. The fact that we can see and we have eyes is enough to say that God sees. The fact that we can reason, which is one of the things that sets humans apart from the rest of creation, animals specifically, or plants, the fact that we can reason says that God can reason. And so we see these things in people that are created in the image of God. They say something about who God is. And so because humans specifically have this unique role in creation of imaging God, Christians then stand against the destruction of that image. Now, I know there's a long, long list of things that we could discuss. Should then Christians be pacifists? What do we do with war? Things like that, because in those cases, the image of God is destructed. Capital punishment would be another example of this. Should Christians be for or against capital punishment? And those are all very good questions and very good discussions to have. We're not going to jump into those today, although we may dive into them in the future. But the bottom line is that the default position of a Christian is that anyone who bears the image of God is valuable, and destroying that image is a very serious offense. That's why here's a little bit of teaching of the Bible for you. When God gives the command to people to be fruitful and multiply, there's this idea that his image being mirrored in us is actually spreading out throughout the earth and spreading the glory of God across the earth. It's kind of this cool idea. So that's why Christians should care deeply about things like abortion. That's why Christians cared deeply about things like the slave trade, kind of this classic, heinous piece of history. And I know lots of people listening will say, well, you know, there were a lot of Christians who seemed to justify slavery. And to be fair, that's true. But I think that, well, I shouldn't even say, I haven't studied the history around that enough to say that, you know, Christians by and large were for the slave trade because they, you know, took the Bible and used it to justify it. I don't know exactly how many Christians felt about that. I do know that the abolitionists were largely made up of Christian people, and they put a lot of pressure on, in specifically in the United States, on the government to end the slave trade. I know that William Wilberforce was a Christian, and in the UK fought greatly to end the slave trade, because a proper understanding of Scripture, and this is the important thing, a proper understanding of Scripture says that all people are created in the image of God and therefore should be treated with dignity. Second reason why Christians should care about the issue of abortion is the idea within the Bible of a God who cares about those who can't defend themselves. Constantly throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the whole of the Bible, you see this idea of God having a tender heart towards the widow, the orphan, the person who can't defend themselves, the poor, the outcast. And so I think that if you see within the Bible that God has this tender heart towards the people who are oppressed and defenseless, it would then make sense that people who claim to follow God through Jesus, who also showed a very tender, caring heart towards those who were oppressed and defenseless, if we claim to follow Jesus, then it would make sense that we would care about defending those who are defenseless. And quite honestly, unfortunately, a lot of times the church maybe hasn't done a great job of this recently. I think in talking to people in a lot of age brackets, there's a deep care, but maybe a feeling of being overwhelmed at the situation that our society finds us in. And a lot of times, unfortunately, what we've done is we've kind of, I don't know if backed off is the right term, but we kind of become so overwhelmed that we allow for government programs, or we allow for what we call parachurch organizations to deal with the poor, the oppressed, the defenseless, and we maybe give money to those things because that's about the only thing that we really know how to do. And I think that the church needs to find a way to be better at engaging the poor, the oppressed, those who can't defend themselves. And when I say the church, I actually probably should be pointing the first fingers at myself. That's something I haven't always done well. But it is something that's close to God's heart, and so it should be close to the Christian's heart. And so that, ultimately, when you begin to put those kinds of things together, that all people are created in the image of God, and that God has a heart for those who can't defend themselves, you begin to see why Christians should care about the issue of abortion. Now, if you're listening, here's what you need to know. generally, when you have a discussion about abortion, it doesn't start with the issue of personhood. It actually is generally framed as a women's rights issue, which is a masterful way to frame the discussion if you want to shut it down, because the second that you can frame the abortion issue, the discussion around women's rights, you've effectively made anybody who's against abortion against women. And in our current societal milieu, the cultural context that we find ourselves in, that's one of the most heinous things you can do. And so if you can frame it in a way that says anybody who is against abortion is against women, you've automatically won the argument, because nobody will pick that up and say, man, I don't want to be against women. It's very important that women are treated well, which is true, absolutely 100% true. I am glad for a lot of the progress that we have made in women's rights over the last, however long you want to go back to and tag the beginning of that being. I have two daughters. I'm married to a wonderful woman. I love women. That's part of who I am. It's who I get to be. Last night, yesterday, as I was kind of prepping for this episode in my mind, I was thinking about that and how lucky and how blessed I am to have two little girls who I get to play with. Yesterday, I went home and I just played with my little girls. One's 4 and one just turned 2. And man, they are a blast. I love them to death. So... all of that to be said, I think that if you can frame the argument in a way that says that abortion is about women's rights, you'll automatically be able to shut down anybody who's against abortion, because people want to be for women's rights. The problem is that that's actually, kind of that old term, a red herring. It's a distraction. Abortion is not at all about women's rights. Abortion is actually about how you, and the entire discussion around abortion is about how you define what a person is. How do you define who a person is? So for a Christian, again, we already know how we define who a person is. A person is someone created in the image of God. And that's from conception. From the moment that you were conceived, you carry the genetic makeup of a human person. You are created in the image of God. We kind of go back to that famous verse, I knit you together in your mother's womb. God is overseeing the process of someone in his image being created. Now, there are a lot of technicalities around this end of the discussion and the argument. There are good resources that you can find. You can check out Stand to Reason with Greg Kuchel. You can check out reasonablefaith.org. Great quote by Greg Kuchel regarding this discussion. And he says this. He says, if the unborn is not a human person, there's no justification for abortion necessary. However, if the unborn is a human person, no justification for abortion is adequate. And so what we see is the actual discussion revolving around abortion is not one of women's rights. It is a question of what defines a human person. Now, circling back around to this, from a Christian perspective, that's an easy answer. Someone created in the image of God. For someone who's not a Christian, it becomes a little bit more interesting. How do you define a person? And this is where the argument starts to get interesting, because from a Christian perspective, you can say, well, a person is someone created in the image of God. But anybody who doesn't hold a Christian perspective doesn't buy that. So if we truly care about defending the defenseless, there has to be a way in the discussion of abortion to talk with people who don't assume the same worldview that we do. So then the question becomes, well, how do you talk to a society that largely doesn't accept in the process of making laws, in the process of debate, the assumption that there is a God, the assumption that people are created in God's image, how do you go about this discussion? Well, a good place to start is to know how do people define what a person is. Largely, the definition for a person revolves around things like this: the ability to be self-aware, the ability to be self-conscious, the ability to feel emotions, and the ability to reason. And I said at the beginning of the episode that that's really one of the big ones, is the ability to reason. Now, there are some problems with this. If that's how you define a person, someone who is self-aware, someone who is self-conscious, someone who has emotions, someone who has the ability to reason. If that's how you define a person and you go, hey, listen, a fetus is not self-aware, a fetus is not self-conscious, a fetus doesn't have emotions, a fetus doesn't have the ability to reason, and therefore a fetus is not a person, okay, fair enough. Then you also have to say this: an infant is not really self-aware, an infant isn't self-conscious, an infant doesn't really feel emotions, and an infant certainly doesn't have the ability to reason. So if that's your definition of a person, and that's your argument for being pro-abortion, then you also have to be pro-infanticide, meaning you have to be willing to say it's okay to kill babies because they're not really people yet. That's if you apply the logic across the board. And some of the more consistent thinkers in abortion rights and pro-abortion, as my understanding is, are essentially pro-infanticide. It's okay to kill babies. Now let that sink in for a minute. Logically, that's the place that you have to go. Not a women's rights issue. This is a personhood issue. So you begin to see that there are actually really some complex things that you need to think about in this. And again, when you come back and you say, from a Christian perspective, this is just an easy one. Christians should be against abortion. But when you begin to talk to your friends who aren't Christians, or if you aren't a Christian and you're listening to this, I want you to apply the logic that you have to use when you define personhood. If you're going to be pro-abortion based on a pretty prototypical definition of personhood, you have to be pro-infanticide. And not only that, this is going to raise questions to, what about someone who is in a coma? Someone in a coma is not self-aware, not self-conscious, doesn't have the ability to reason, isn't feeling emotions. Does that mean it's okay if someone's in a temporary coma to just say, well, they're not a person, so it's okay to knock them off? Again, when you begin to apply the logic and the reason here, you begin to see these arguments taking form. So then the question becomes, well, what should we do about this? Because this is a very significant issue. In my humble opinion, I think that this is actually the greatest social injustice the West has seen. If not the greatest, one of the top two or three. This ability to abort unborn babies. So what needs to be done? Well, I think there are a few things from a Christian perspective. One is we need to lean on the gospel. The gospel points to the fact that we are broken, so we shouldn't be surprised by the fact that our society is broken and holds broken views on this, and that there are broken people doing broken things. So first and foremost, we need to lean on the gospel and be gracious, but we also need to lean on the gospel and understand that redeemed people think the way that God thinks progressively, and it's not a perfect way, but we begin to think the way God thinks, and so we begin to care about the things that God cares about. We talked about that earlier, and we begin to take some action on this issue. I think a lot of Christians, again, become overwhelmed and think, well, there's nothing that I can do about this, and I don't think that that's true. I think that there are very practical things that Christians can do, like writing letters to your political leaders, regarding this issue, saying, hey, listen, this isn't a woman's right issue. This is a philosophical issue on who a person is. And I believe that a person, you know, is someone who carries the genetic makeup of a person. I guess that's kind of the way that you essentially have to go about the question of how do you define a person from a non-Christian view. Because if you say, well, you can't really define it the way it has been defined as self-awareness, self-consciousness, emotions, and the ability to reason, you kind of have to go, I think, and maybe there's a better answer than this, but you kind of have to go to the genetic makeup view. And we won't dive into that, but there you can do something by writing a letter to your MLA or your MP. You can do something by being an advocate for people, girls who have at-risk pregnancies. You know, where are the Christians in the lives of young women who are pregnant and don't know what to do and feel like they have no other option but to have an abortion? Maybe we need to be more present. Maybe I need to be more present in those types of situations and willing to step in and say, hey, we can help. We can do something. But I think at the end of the day, if this becomes a question of saving lives, if we begin to frame it that way, that there is a responsibility on Christians to start engaging our culture in a way that is going to say, hey, we actually care about these things, and this is an issue that we think is close to God's heart, and so it's going to be close to our heart. And I think, so, you know, writing letters to MPs, seeing something done on a governmental level, I think getting our hands dirty, loving on people who need help in order to prevent abortions, being willing to take kids in. Like, this is a huge one, but being willing to adopt or foster children in order to help prevent needless abortions. There are numerous things we can do, maybe not easy things, but there are things we can do. And again, I bring it back to this. If it's something that's close to God's heart, then I think it's something that should be close to our heart as well.